Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and welcome to another Stat Me Up for Anfield Index. It's a strange time, ladies and gents. There's three games to go in the Premier League season, but all the talk is naturally about things that are happening off the pitch and who we might be signing, who might be going, who might be staying, who might be, well, if you listen to the Mo Salah rumours, whatever you want to pick. So here to join me as ever to talk through the West Ham game and quite a few things that are happening off the field as well is Ben Boxack. Ben, how are we?
Yeah, I mean, as good as I can be. I think half of me is just over the season and looking forward to, you know, it ending. And another part of me is, I guess, a little bit excited about the future and looking at Arne Slot and what he will bring to this Liverpool team.
Yeah, I can well imagine. Probably the, I know we were just discussing beforehand, a lot of people are thinking that with the Champions League pretty much secured, barring Spurs getting, I think it's a 28-goal swing, winning every game as well, etc. It does feel like the last three are almost petering out, and it's more about maybe celebrating Jurgen Klopp. But I understand people are thinking about the summer transfers and all those types of things. And we'll delve into that a little bit. But we're not going to fast forward too far, because we do want to rewind a little bit here and go back to the West Ham game. I mean, a weird game, Ben. 2-2. Two goals from open play are positive. However, the oddest Robertson goal and the weirdest, scruffiest Sunday League-style own goal you will ever see. And obviously, yes, it secured Champions League qualification, but it's a strange one. I mean, what were your overall thoughts on that game?
I thought, to be honest, Liverpool controlled the game a lot better than in any of the last few games that we've seen, or pretty much most games we've seen in April. It's as close to a good performance I've seen from Liverpool in a while.
Yeah.
Even compared to the Fulham one, I know, you know, Fulham, we won, we beat them, but I think this one, it felt like we had more control than that one.
Yeah.
Obviously scored two from open play. Needed a bit of fortune, but I think that we created a lot of chances in general throughout the game. I thought, again, maybe the forwards were a little wasteful or unlucky. Diaz hit the post again twice in a row now. That was quite unfortunate. But like, just even Cody Gakpo, I think he had 8 attempts and 0 on target, which, for example, like for Gakpo, 8 attempts is quite rare because he's one who doesn't take a lot of shots.
Yeah.
So to have 8 attempts is a positive, but the fact that he didn't get a single one on target is a negative. I think he got 4 off target and 4 shots blocked. I thought it was better, but there was still a lot of improvement and there's still a lot of area where you look and say, yeah, we still need to improve.
it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you don't want to sort of barricade as much as the recent performances, but if, I mean, some of them have been like one or twos out of 10, so you don't want to get too excited about a five or a six out of 10 performance, but it's a step in the right direction. I mean, I agree with you normally on a lot of things, and that just felt like on Saturday, the wastefulness was there, especially the Dutch boys, didn't they? Gravenberg, Gakpo had a lot of good chances, and whether it just took too long, it was blocked, fired wide, fired over, all those types of things. Even Luis Diaz had a couple of one-on-ones, didn't he, aside from the post. There was that. And then in typical Liverpool style, every error gets punished as well, doesn't it? Just Gakpo leaves Bowen unmarked for the goal, and the second one just, drifts off Kwanzaa, and there you go, it's 2-2 before you know it. I mean, it's difficult to get too excited about anyone's individual performances right now. We've got to be honest about that. But stats-wise, did anyone pass? Maybe that's the right phrase, rather than shine.
I think Gravenberch is sort of making a good case for himself towards the end of the season. Obviously, he scored in the last game, and yes, on Saturday it was.
Yeah.
On Saturday, he put in a pretty good performance. He won the most duels in midfield, made the most recoveries in midfield, and actually completed 7 dribbles, which I can't remember the last time a central midfielder for Liverpool even attempted 7 dribbles, let alone complete them. So, he definitely looks like he can bring a little bit extra something else to that midfield. I think it's just about seeing that on a consistent basis from him.
Yeah,
that's what we don't see. But it was an encouraging performance, I would say, from Gravenberch in particular. I thought he looked quite good, and I think I'm sort of looking ahead to the Arne Slot era. I'm sort of looking ahead and excited maybe about his future potentially, because I think there's a couple of roles that he could fit into it in Slot system.
Will be interesting to see. And you're right, to be fair. I mean, for various reasons, the others have been pretty turgid in there at the moment. So fair play. You can only do what you can do, Ryan Gravenberch. But yeah, you're right. It feels like a million years ago since Dominic Szoboszlai waltzed past or outran the Bournemouth midfield a good few times in that opening home fixture, doesn't it? It does seem like the from all of them, to be honest, who could beat a man in midfield. So maybe it'll be interesting to see how he kicks on. And probably the first stats one to bring in, 75 points, as we say. I think a lot of people thought this would be enough anyway, maybe 74 before this game, who knows. And barring a big swing, I'm not saying it's impossible for Aston Villa to get third, but you'd fancy Liverpool to get third place. So this is a question with Arne Slot set to come in next season. When it feels like ages, I can't remember us ever finishing third under Jurgen Klopp, but you might well be correcting me on this. When was the last time we finished third, and what sort of happened the season after? How far are we going back? I can't remember us finishing third ever.
That's actually strange that you say that, because we actually mentioned that season quite a lot on this podcast.
Oh God, we keep blanking it, don't we? Yeah.
The 2020-21 season.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think it's because it for a while that season, it looked like we were not even going to go anywhere near the top four.
Yeah.
And then Alisson's header and everything that happened, we went on a great run. And that actually coincided with us ending up in third place. And towards the end of that season, and then next season, what transpired was, when we were going for the quadruple, obviously.
Yeah.
And in that period, from towards the end of the 2020-21 season to pretty much most of the 21-22 season, we went on an incredible run. Like,
we did.
For that period, I think we were the best team in the Premier League, or potentially the best team in Europe at the time. Obviously, it's just unfortunate that Similarly to this season, things petered out towards the end of that campaign. But yeah, that season, obviously Liverpool went on to win still 2 trophies, made the Champions League final, lost to Real Madrid, and obviously lost to Manchester City in the Premier League by 1 point. City finished on 93 and we finished on 92. So you know, it didn't end up being a bad season for Liverpool, but it was sort of different circumstances that time around, obviously.
Very different. But yeah, if we finished third this season, then Arnie Slot can get 92 points next season. We would take that in a heartbeat. So it will be interesting to see. And to be honest, that's the place to move on realistically, because I mean, we've seen it in the last week or so. This has accelerated rapidly. I mean, people forget a week ago, at the start of the day, Amorim was still in contention, wasn't he, Ben? Like, you just fast forward a week and then the West Ham meetings and all the things that kicked off there to where we are. And now, almost everyone's waiting for this Arnie Slot announcement, aren't they? All the journalists have said, yeah, it's pretty much done. I mean, that we've got to get into this, because I know you've done quite a few pods and interviews. I've done the same on Arnie Slot about his tactics, character, personality, all those types of things. What would you say for you has been the most interesting fact that you've found out so far about Slot? That anything that you think like really stands out or resonates at all?
I mean, first of all, I haven't spoken to Alex Stewart or Analytics FC, but the first thing that I sort of found out about him was their Analytics FC, they're a sort of like analytical company that works with a lot of football clubs, and they're owned by Alex Stewart, who works for Tifo. And I just kind of want to give them a shout out, because before anyone else in February, they did a study in terms of looking at the data and who is the best fit for Liverpool, and they actually included Arne Slot when no one was talking about him. And obviously, we've looked at potential candidates or throughout these months, and we both sort of overlooked Slot because the Eredivisie and obviously what happened with Erik ten Hag and stuff like that. I don't think we saw him as a serious candidate. We kind of looked elsewhere, but you know, fair play to Analytics FC. They've sort of flagged him up so that early on, like back in February. So I do want to give them a shout out. But in terms of my own interviews, I think the most interesting thing I found out from sort of one of his teammates, who was also like a coach when he was at AZ Alkmaar, is the fact that he absolutely hates long balls. He, like, even as a player, if someone passed it to him in the air, he'd complain. He'd tell them to keep the ball on the ground. And same now as a manager. He wants his players to keep the balls on the ground. So I did a little section on Trent Alexander-Arnold in my new Anfield Index piece, sort of talking about that, because Alexander-Arnold actually attempts a lot of long balls, I think 20 per game for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. So his role could actually change a little bit under Slot in terms of, you know, maybe keeping shorter passes or keeping the ball on the ground. Because for Slot, the outfield player that attempts the most long passes is his centre-back, David Hanko, and Trent, I think, attempts 21 per 90 minutes. Hanko is 9 per 90 minutes. So it's a big difference there in terms of the way Slot likes to play. And I think it's just kind of interesting that to sort of find out the inner stuff in terms of how Slot would complain as a player, and he'd go up to his teammates and he'd tell them off. And I think he's like that as a manager as well. So I think that's something to look out for. I think that's something that will change in the way Liverpool build up. And I think something that probably, when we're talking about Mohamed Salah staying, that kind of suits Salah, because, you know, for years in his prime, he was brilliant at getting in behind defenses and going for those long balls. However, like, there's no denying he is changing as a player now. He doesn't have like the speed and the acceleration that he had before. He's still really fast, but maybe in a different system, he'd be better suited to the way Slot likes to build up from the back and the way Slot likes to build up his attack and stuff like that. So I think that was probably the most interesting thing that I found out about him. And that's, I think, something to sort of keep an eye on.
Yeah, there's a lot of takes. I mean, we'll get into the stats around him shortly, but the one thing I've found is, like you say, sometimes it's the personality and the characters, and everyone that you speak to about him, it's strange, obviously, we don't know this guy, a lot of people don't, I think it's fair to say. Everyone talks about his personality and his character almost not, and it's easy to make the link, but Klopp-like the way he comes across. A lot of when you speak to the Dutch correspondents say, yeah, good communicator, enjoys a joke, you know, doesn't take himself too seriously, like quite calm and relaxed, which probably isn't Jurgen Klopp all the time, no doubts about that, but brings that passion. And the one thing I'm leading to that I really took from all the interviews, his team seems to love him, which yeah. is probably the common element. Everyone says his players love him, his players love playing for him as well, which doesn't necessarily make him translate to a great head coach by any means at Liverpool, because we've got to have that on record.
I think it helps. Because I spoke to someone who worked with him and Ten Hag as well, and I wanted to get, you know, like, why is he different? What makes him different? And that's what he highlighted. It is, first of all, his personality, his character.
Yeah.
He told me, I think Slot is more prepared to deal with legends or big players, whereas Ten Hag maybe didn't have that. And I think as well, the other thing that he told me is different is, like, Slot is so much more confident in sort of his playing style, just everything in general. He's so much more confident, whereas Ten Hag doesn't quite have that, or didn't have it at the time, and probably still doesn't have it as much. So I think those kind of things as well. And I think if you look at the way Slot speaks in English compared to Ten Hag, he seems a little bit clearer, seems a little bit more assured as well. So I think in terms of communication, that will help. I know, like, a lot of Liverpool fans, that was probably their sort of first worry when you look at, oh, well, who's the last big coach from the Dutch league to go to the Premier League? So it's Ten Hag.
No doubt.
I think from the feedback I've gotten, it sounds like they are very different characters, and Ten Hag never quite had a distinct style or system, whereas Slot does. And I think that's why he's almost better suited and as a manager. And obviously, the fact that he's got that charisma and that character as well makes him probably even better suited. I think he'll sort of, I'm not going to use the word slot right in, but he will fit in very well at Liverpool.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just in the simplicity of it went ball Dutch. We've seen this before, but yeah, the initial reports are different. We've got to say that. And listen, we do talk about stats normally as well. So stats-wise, from what you've obviously researched, what you've heard, what are your biggest positives that way for the case for Arne Slot?
Yeah, so I think obviously one of the key things is he does like his teams to press still, and that's like still one of his key principles. So what stood out to me is in the Eredivisie, they create the most shot-creating actions from defensive actions. So that means pressures, tackles, etc., stuff like that. And they also score the most goals from those defensive actions. On top of that, they also make the most recoveries. So you know, that just shows that they're a hard-working team off the ball. But I think the most sort of positive thing for me is, I know it comes with a caveat because it's the Eredivisie, it's the Dutch league,
yeah.
It's not the strongest league. However, if you're looking at expected goals conceded, Squawker did a post recently. And in Europe's top seven leagues, Feyenoord actually ranks in second place for the expected goals conceded.
Behind Arsenal, isn't it?
So for me, that really stands out as a sort of key stat, because everyone that I've spoken to highlighted Slot's attacking play, how good he is going forward. But actually, when you look at it, his defensive side of things is quite solid as well. He's built a strong unit. And I think, you know, obviously he's conceded more goals in Europe and stuff like that, but most of the games he has played in Europe has been quite tight as well. So you can see that they are a hard team to beat, which I think is important from Liverpool's perspective, because I think that's something that probably in the last, like, 18 months to 2 years, there's been times when we have been difficult to beat, but it hasn't been consistent and regular enough. Yeah. I know it doesn't help when, you know, your goalkeeper's out injured and there's not enough centre backs available to you, but still, I think that's something that I would like to change at Liverpool. I would like to sort of become that really hard team to beat again, the really solid defensive line. And I think hopefully that's something that might probably change on the slot.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
You'd hope so. Yeah, there is and again, this all comes with the Eredivisie tax caveat. Fully understand that. But a lot of the pure stats, as you said, in terms of the chances, just the points per game as well that he accumulates, it is pretty high. It's pretty impressive. But yeah, it's hard to escape that one because it sounds an age-old principle, but defences tend to win titles, don't they? So if you've got a solid defence, especially if your attack's as wasteful as us, shall we say, at times as well, it does just make things easier for you. And we have been far too porous for a good period now as well. We know that as well. We've been open a lot this season. How many times have we sat here and said, well, we conceded the first goal and we've had to come back. So just a manager that maybe doesn't do that. And that's not to dig out Jurgen Klopp in any way. He's an absolute legend. It's just maybe that change is starting to look at the decisions behind it. And this, for me, I'm mixed on this because this feels like it's easy, lazy punditry, isn't it? Just to go, where's Arne Slot coming from? Feyenoord. What Liverpool players? Oh, sorry, Feyenoord players. Can we link with Liverpool? And let's be honest, we've seen a lot recently. People will go, oh, yeah, he's got his Eredivisie attacks. That's the frame. Maybe we should just call the show that realistically, because that's going to be a key factor in it. But who do you think realistically could potentially, because I know, but some people have named like four or five, and I think it's absolute bobbins. But what are your thoughts on potential Feyenoord players that could maybe make that step?
Well, listen, I think me and you are allowed to talk about this because we've actually spoken about some of these players.
Yeah,
before
true.
Arne Slot was linked, so I think we're okay to talk about them. I think I have my skeptics. I think if we bring in any of his players, they have to come in as squad players, realistically, not as first team options. You know, we've been linked with David Hanko a lot. I like him as a left-sided centre-back, but I think if he were to come in, he'd be like fourth choice at best, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if, you know, he's just signed a new contract. I don't know if that's really worth the money or if that's something Liverpool would go for. Matt Wiefer as well, we've spoken about him in the past, and I think he's a good player. He covers a lot of ground. For me, like, the only sort of question mark, apart from the fact that he's coming from the Eredivisie, is sort of his lack of speed. He's quiet, slow, so I don't know how he would fit into the Premier League in terms of the intensity. Gertruda has been, I think today when we're speaking, he's been doing the rounds. I think he's probably the one, like, very versatile, can play in a number of different positions. And like I said just now, I think if we were to sign a player, he'd be a squad player. And I think he could be potentially someone who we could look at. But again, his primary position is a right back. And we've got Trent Alexander-Arnold and Conor Bradley in right back. So again, I think that one's a little bit of a tough one as well. Jimenez, again, I'm not sure if he is the sort of if he's ready for the Premier League yet. I think the most exciting player who I've really enjoyed watching for Feyenoord this season is Jan Kuba Minty, but Newcastle already have them.
So
he's the one who, when I was even looking at the data in terms of future salary replacements, he's someone I flagged up because he sort of fits the profile quite well. But obviously Newcastle have got him, so there's no chance of that, I don't think. I think more realistically, if Liverpool are going to get like a former Arne Slot player, it will be someone who's worked with him in the past, because he's worked with quite talented players who've gone on to do quite well at clubs. So like likes of Orkun Kutcu or Tone Koopmeiners, who obviously did really well against us for Atalanta. Those are the kind of players who could potentially in the future sign for us. I don't see them being realistic this summer either. But I think, you know, given the fact that he is coming in as a head coach, not as a manager, and also just Jurgen Klopp didn't bring in any Dortmund players when he arrived. I think it's quite unlikely that we will bring in one of his former players. I think Edwards and obviously Hughes, they'll have different targets and different people in mind.
Yeah, I think that's the key part, especially with the, as we always expected, but there was a few reports, wasn't there? People confirmed that Slot will be a head coach very much. Edwards, Hughes, they will deal with the contract renewals, the signing of players, the selling of players, that type of thing. So, yeah, and while Slot will no doubt have his input, he'll be asked about certain things and what he's looking for, I've no doubt. I do think it's lazy journalism. I think the one thing that spanned that whole Gertruda issue is the, I say issue is the wrong phrase, but he was in the away end, wasn't he, at West Ham? So,
but he also entered a North London derby. So,
yeah, exactly. It feels like we were just at London and having a trip, realistically, more than anything. At the same time, a year left on his contract, a right back, and then people will think, and I understand they could think, oh, we can move Trent into the midfield positions then. You've got Bradley and him competing. And as you said, he could also cover the centre at a push, defensive midfielder at a push, so he gives you versatility. And then again, if he comes, you'd probably ask a few questions about Joe Gomez, wouldn't you, realistically? And what's the point of his versatility? So, yeah, I'm not saying it's impossible. He's the most likely.
Yeah, definitely.
I would not put any solid money. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't put any solid money on it. That's important to say.
I think he's the most likely as well, because of how key he is to Slot's system over the last couple of seasons. Like, he really is the focal point. He's Trent Alexander-Arnold almost in terms of progressing the ball and everything. So if he were to bring in a former player, I think it would be him. But given the profiles at Liverpool, I don't think it's that likely. And I think, like, I've posted about some of his players, but I think my post was sort of to highlight his player development, how good he's been in terms of, you know, bringing Santiago Jimenez in from Mexico and getting him to levels that he's never reached before. And same with Mats Wiefer, nobody thought he could even get to a Feyenoord and get to this stage. And even Minty, the way he sort of integrated him into Feyenoord from, and I think he came from the Danish league, to promote him into the Eredivisie, that's still a huge step up. And I think that what's really impressive about Slot as well is the way he just like promotes these players and gets the best out of them and takes them to another level and helps them reach heights that they've never sort of reached before. So I think that's a really sort of exciting aspect of him coming to Liverpool as well.
Yeah, it will be interesting, but I think Arne Slot's there for his player development and coaching, so I wouldn't stick too much in Feyenoord players that way. It will be interesting to see. And in a strange way, the next game, this one, Liverpool-Spurs, it always feels like there's loads of goals in this, but it's also the first time I can remember it's a dead rubber. There is usually quite a bit on a Liverpool-Spurs game for various reasons at different times. Am I right with that? It does feel like we usually get a lot of goals in this game. It's usually an entertaining one.
Actually, I think last season at Anfield was obviously entertaining.
Yeah.
The 4-3. But if I'm looking at the other Anfield fixtures, 1-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-2 and 2-0 under Jurgen Klopp. So there's definitely goals. Maybe not goals galore, not as exciting as the 4-3. I don't think anything will come quite as close to that one. But I mean, there is a fair few goals in these encounters, but maybe not as many as people. I think people tend to remember like the year before Klopp, when there was actually like quite a lot of big score lines, especially under Rodgers. I think we went to Tottenham and sort of thrashed them 4-1, and then they came to Anfield and we had quite a few big score lines just before Jurgen Klopp. And then under Klopp, it's been sort of more even or more closely matched and maybe not as big of score lines, but still entertaining games, I would say.
No doubt. Yeah, even thinking back to that 2-2 when John Moss gave that horrendous penalty for Harry Kane type of thing. But we'll see. We'll see with this one. In a way, nothing would surprise you with this one coming up because it is a dead... Well, say Spurs dependent could still be chasing Champions League, couldn't they? They've got their game against Chelsea on Thursday. So we'll have to see. But if they don't win that, it looks a pretty, defeated conquest. You'll also see how defeated they are after the Arsenal game the other day. But the weekend will bring what it will bring. And the last one we'll finish on. And we'll start to do these a little bit more, ladies and gents, because in a good way, and it is understandable, we're moving into this summer now, aren't we? And the transfers, the contracts, all these various things. Somerville's the name that's come up, and it's a weird one that it's been talked about for a while, but it's probably the Dutch reports, haven't they? The 1908 and a few others. Romano mentioned him as well, type of thing. Lots of talk, various sources, as we know. And I know you tweeted about him, and I had to have a little jive because, you know, I like to do things, Ben, and obviously we're... But someone messaged me the other day and went, why are you being cruel to Ben? Just for the record, me and Ben know each other. It wasn't cruel. It was a nice little joke, by the way, before anyone takes this too seriously. But talking about the player, Somerville, there's quite a few have made the case that he could be someone to come in. Can you make the case for him, stats-wise?
Yeah, I mean, look, he scores a lot of goals. He creates a lot of chances. So I posted, you know, he's created the second most chances and the second most big chances out of wingers in the Championship this season. On top of that, I think only two players have scored more goals than him as well in the whole division. Only 22 years old, so he's still quite young. He's quite exciting. He attempts a lot of dribbles. Per 90, I think it's around 8 per 90, which is pretty high. He's someone who sort of gets you off the edge of your seat. It's quite exciting to watch, but obviously it's the Championship and it's not quite got the sort of proven pedigree in the Premier League yet. So I think it's one of those that Liverpool will sort of monitor him if he doesn't move, or if Leeds get promoted and he doesn't move anywhere else, then I think we'll sort of keep an eye on him. I don't think he's quite ready yet for Liverpool. If he does come in, he'll be a squad player, not in the starting 11. If he does come in somewhere, he does have lots of talent though, so I do think he has the potential to get to that stage. I just think right now, if you're looking at Liverpool's options, got Darwin Nunez who can play on the left, Luis Diaz who can play on the left, Cody Gakpo who can play on the left. I don't really see, and I mean obviously things can change in the summer and one of those players might even leave. So obviously then things will change. The situation becomes different. But right now, I don't see how for him as a young player, that would be even an appealing sort of prospect of moving to Liverpool when you're potentially sort of third choice in your favoured position anyway. So for me, I think if we're going to look at young wingers in the Championship, I don't know why Abdel Fattah doesn't get mentioned as often as him, because he's got 19 goal contributions. He's created the most big chances actually out of anyone in the league. Obviously he's a right winger, he's left footed. I think he's got a lot of potential. Obviously there was I don't quite know what went on in that crazy sort of transfer saga a couple of years ago when he was rumoured to be at Bayer Leverkusen, but then I think he was on the phone
about
his Instagram story, or something happened, and Liverpool then got sort of pulled into the conversations, but Liverpool denied those links, and obviously, like, he was under 18 at the time, so he couldn't have moved to any clubs anyway. So that was a little bit of a bizarre situation. I don't quite know what went on there, but since then he's been, like, he was really good in that African Cup of Nations, under 20 African Cup of Nations. I think he was player of the tournament there, and I watched a lot of him in action. I actually spoke to some of his academy coaches at the time, and they were really impressed by him. And then, you know, he's progressed really well, and he's doing really well in the Championship. One reporter friend of mine actually messaged me the other day about him when he scored a hat trick against Leicester, and he just said he's unreal at the moment. Like, he's really good. So I think if we're looking at wingers in the Championship, for me, Fatal makes more sense for Liverpool than Somerville right now anyway, in terms of, you know, we are looking for, no matter what happens with Salah, we in the back of our minds, we are looking for a sort of future heir to his throne in that right wing position. And Fatawa fits that profile a lot more. And I wouldn't be surprised if we will monitor his progress in the Premier League, because I think he will stay at Leicester, and I think he will give a good go of it in the Premier League next season.
We'll be interested to see with Somerville. I mean, because we had the Media Matters pod with David Lynch, and he gave the info that he is a player that Liverpool have watched quite a bit, Somerville, so it's not just coming from nowhere. People aren't just pulling this name. No, that seems to be the suggestion. However, almost to what you alluded to, he's almost on a list of forwards. And obviously when we do the refining, the video analysis, all those types of things, absolutely great. So there is weight to this. We can't just say, oh, there's nothing in it, so to speak, is the suggestion. But for him to be the one that comes into that five, without going too much, because it's not the transfer podcast, there is a suspicion, or at least one will probably be moving on, shall we say. But even that, it's a big step. I think you're right. I think the interesting element is, as a few people have said, he does profile awfully similar to Diogo Jota when Diogo Jota was at Wolves, you know, in terms of, like, his goals, assists, his style, his all-round metrics and stats. They're not identical, but there's a heck of a lot of similarity. So someone described it to me the other day, on the Edwards model, it wouldn't be a surprise on that basis for, you know, upscale, if that's the right phrase. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on. But this is a little bit separate from stats, Ben, because I know that is the focus of the show. But the final one I want to finish off, the forward line's the obvious one to talk about. The Salah stories, all the things, you know, it's the one where pretty much bar Jota, because he's out injured, every single player is being talked about realistically. What's your gut, or the info from you have, or what you're thinking, how many do you think could seriously depart in the summer? What does your gut tell you?
I think it's difficult to predict, because we don't know how aggressive Saudi Arabia was in the market. Like, no one at this stage last year, no one would have predicted that Henderson and Fabinho were going to leave
and
go to Saudi Arabia. But I actually don't think there's going to be that many changes. I think if there is going to be sort of one, if there is going to be sort of, it's just going to be one player leaving. If there is going to be a change, I can't see like a lot of changes, two or three players leaving. Because I think as well, if you're looking at the data and if you're looking at the numbers, like, all of them are still generating quite high XGs. It's just the end product that's missing from them. So if we're going by the data, and if Edwards and the recruitment team trust the data, then you got to sort of back them, because eventually players will catch up to their expected goals. And I think Brentford is a good example of this, when Thomas Frank lost, like, I think 8 out of his first 9 games or something crazy like that. But the sort of underlying numbers and the expected goals and everything suggested actually Like, they should have won a lot of those games. And they trusted sort of Thomas Frank, and obviously he's gone on to do really well there. So I think it's a similar case with Liverpool's forward lines at the moment. You just sort of, the XG is good. You just got to back them to actually start producing and having that final product. And I think they'll trust Slot to be able to do that. Like I mentioned in my Anfield Index article, he's someone who actually gets the best out of his strikers. He's known for that. If like historically, all of the sort of strikers that he's worked with, his main number nines, have had their best seasons under him, have scored the most goals they've ever scored under a manager. And, you know, before that, they weren't actually as productive as they were under him. And if they have moved on since him, they've never been as productive as they were under him as well. So I think those are really encouraging signs. And I think for that reason, and for the fact that, you know, it's not that Liverpool aren't creating chances or the strikers are not ending up in goal scoring opportunities. It's just that they're not being as clinical enough. I think for that reason, I don't see a lot of changes being made. If there is, it's just going to be one, in my opinion. And that's it.
Yeah, interesting. I think one as well. It might surprise people, but my one's pretty distinct. But people, if you want to know about my one, you're going to have to queue in for the transfer show that we got this week. I'm not going to give you any more than that. But all it leaves me to say is, with summer talk ramping up, contracts, transfers, and we all await the announcement of a new manager before we give a legend the send-off he deserves. Ben, thanks very much for the time and the input, mate. As appreciated as ever.
Yeah, enjoyed it. And like you said, I'm just sort of looking forward to giving Jürgen Klopp a big send-off now and looking ahead to the new season as well.
No doubts at all. And ladies and gents, that was another Stat Me Up for Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.